What did you have to say about Harry Truman a moment ago?
I just have always thought that he probably is the greatest president of this century. To me, he may, and you know, he was the president, so he has to get credit for it. But if you think back, the things that he did, the Marshall Plan, the Truman Doctrine, even dropping the bomb, it was not an easy decision, and yet he made the kind of decisions that really started the world back on the road to recovery. He, I think, was...
Did you vote for him?
Twice. No, only once. I only had a chance. Remember,
he only ran
the second
term.
Right. No, I had the opportunity to vote for him, so I was very happy. I didn't like Dewey. Of course, in those days, I guess I was a Democrat. I was a liberal. But I admired him.
Okay, we both started as Democrats, and we both Republicans. How did it happen to you?
Well, I think basically...
When?
Oh, I think it was a slowly evolving thing. Mainly, and it's not that I'm so much a Republican as that I become anti-Democratic Party, because they believe that business is the bad guy, and they've created this impression in this country that businesses are bad, and they have to be punished, and you punish them by taxing them. And their whole taxing system, the ways to get money, I think, help destroy everything that we're supposed to be. I mean, I've come to believe that capitalism really is the best system around. And if it is, then you should do things to help it rather than hinder it. And what people don't seem to understand is that when you tax businesses, the person that pays for them is the consumer. Because I'm sure that there are, you know, unethical businessmen, but most business people, and I've known many throughout my life, are people that run businesses that want to do the best for their business. They feel that they put out a good product, they try to make it better, we try to make it cheaper, I try to get it to more customers, and you really work hard at it, and everything they seem to do is done to make it more difficult for you. And I know that there has to be a balance, and politically you have to tax businesses or else all the people will think it's terrible, because we've never really tried to explain what really happens. I happen to be against our whole tax system. I've written letters over 30 years to all our senators and representatives and people trying to, and Inspector told me in plain words, he said, everything that I said really is good. He says, but it's politically impossible, and it can't be done. I believe that we create a lot of the problems ourselves. If you would have seen in 1986, I guess, when they had the tax reformation law, they came out with a book on interest that was, I think, 680 pages on how to the way taxes affected different kinds of interest. It was impossible to understand. Not in a row anybody could understand or really do it. And we keep doing these things. We make things more... I really have been for simplifying taxes very directly. See, I guess you have to have an income tax, but I wouldn't have any deductions except charitable. And the only reason I say that, people always laughed at me, was, oh, yeah, sure, you want charities deducted, was only because I don't want charities to get government money. Well, I've been active, and when they get government money, in plain words, they just, you know, it's so easy. They just, I hate to use the word, piss it away. They just don't handle it right. When you have to go out and struggle to raise the money, you're much more careful how you spend it. And social workers are not always good business people. And you have to run things in a business-like manner. And unless you do, you're not going to do the things you want to do for the people you're trying to serve. But what bothers me is 25 years ago, the compliance rate for the IRS was about 95-96%. Mm-hmm. Today, they admit, I believe, to 72%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. When people are trying to find ways to avoid paying taxes, legally or illegally, you're destroying the moral fiber of this country. And if taxes were simple and direct, I think that people for 10 or 15% won't look for ways to cheat. You know, they'll pay that, because then it doesn't become worthwhile to get caught, I guess, for that small amount.
Mm-hmm.
And if you removed all the deductions and had direct ones and had either a value-added tax or national sales tax, mm-hmm. we could collect the money we need.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot less confusion and a lot less problems. And I also believe, you know, 6-7 years ago, Virginia legislature met 6 months every other year and did all the business they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, government people that get elected make bigger and bigger jobs with more and more people looking for more and more things to do, when they ought to butt out and just do what they have to do and the simple things, instead of trying to create and solve all the problems that really the people should solve and not the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Part of and we were talking about it before, the reasons that I became disillusioned with the Democrats is they tried to legislate morality by taxation,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm against.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they try to, they think that by using money they can change welfare and make people happier and give them this and create that. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're beginning to see that, and they just don't know the way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats have been, that's a very big part of their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to tax the rich people and use it to help the poor people. And the part that bothers me, and it worries me, is over the last 30 years or so, we have taken in millions of people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know we have people in our plant now from Vietnam. They,
mm-hmm.
the Catholic Charities have been doing some work, and there's a lot of them here in Pittsburgh. And they're working in our plants. People who, some of them never saw a toilet, never saw a light switch, but they come to this country and they go to work, and I don't know, they seem to make it. And they're not on welfare, they
mm-hmm.
stick together, they struggle, whatever they had to do. And yet the blacks are no smarter, no dumber, no different than many of these immigrants. And yet they can't seem to find a way out. And, you know, I don't want to hear that they were slaves. That's 100 years ago, four or five generations, you should be able to overcome that and change. And it hasn't. And I know we've put all kind of obstacles in their way and many other, but I want to tell you, some of these other immigrants from different parts have as many obstacles,
more,
maybe more, about language problems,
mm-hmm.
okay? And yet they find ways to make it.
Mm-hmm.
They just, and I'm talking about all kinds, the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans, Hungarians, Romanians, all kind of people from Asia, Chinese, Vietnamese, the Filipinos, but they're willing to work, and I guess maybe they have family structures. There's a lot of reasons, and I'm not trying to simplify
yeah.
it, but I think what we've been doing to the blacks has been wrong, and we've been, in a way, and the way we're trying to help them is really destroying them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that. I want to find some way out, because I think unless we do, we're going to have serious problems in this country
mm-hmm.
in the future. Last night I went to the All-Star game, and they were marching with signs around
mm-hmm.
about, we don't need All-Star games, we need jobs. We don't need this, we need that.
Mm-hmm.
We offer jobs. They come and work for 2 days and then leave because it's too hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't pay enough. You don't do this enough. That you can't get something for nothing. They got to learn that you have to work, you have to save, And we have to find some way to create a society within them that will help them do that. And one, of course, the big problems is though there are many, many rich black people in this country, middle class and rich. But the problem is they escape from that. They go away. They don't have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the differences that you would find among the Jews and among many of these other groups. We help. If we got here, our father brought somebody else over. There's always some cousin coming or somebody coming. And he lived with you for 3-4 weeks, a month, 2 months, till he got a job or got his own place.
Mm.
But there was a closeness. I think that's lacking in their community. Yeah, it's a matriarchal society, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 20-1. You got
you're saying that the turnover with blacks is 20-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult to.
But well, 2-3 days and it's too hard, and they can't be here at 8 o'clock, and they have this excuse and that excuse. And those that want to work, work. And we've had some that have worked 20, 30 years for us and retire, you know. They work.
Mm-hmm.
They want a job and they have a family and they're going to do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go back to some of those organizations that you earlier mentioned. We just practically only named some of those organizations. Is there any that
well, I can start with Jewish Family and Children's Service. That was the first agency that I became involved with and finally became president of that in 66 to 69. And then I had been active was the YIKC, was the IKC, then the YIKC. In East End, and then I slowly worked up from the board in that and became president in 70 to 73. And I think we talked about one of the reasons why that I was the right person at that time to be president. And finally, I got on the board of the Chronicle, and I served as president of that, I believe, 78 to 81.
What do you think of Bloom?
Well, I had problems with Mr. Bloom. I think he was all right, but I disagreed with him philosophically and politically. He was very, very religious and felt that, in a way, that the ritualistic symbols of our religion were very important and we were ignoring them. And I thought he was too biased towards the Orthodox and not to the general community. Mm-hmm. Oh, other than that, he's a good writer.
Yes, what do you
think? I like Joel. I think Joel does a good job, and I think the paper's one of the better papers in the country as far as the type it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a very difficult position because they have to tread, you know, a line between what they can do about talking about some of the agencies, you know, and it was the Montefiore Hospital and some of the other things, and because though they're not dependent on the Federation, they work closely with them. And as a matter of fact, when I was president, we first started charging subscriptions and starting to build those up. I didn't like what it was is that the Federation paid. The paper was sent out free to people that gave more than $10. And the Federation decided on what the value of that was. But there was a law with the postal authorities that put us in jeopardy, really. And we had to juggle things around so that we would always be in compliance with the postal authorities, which worried me. And that was one of the reasons they said, oh, nobody will ever pay for the paper. And I said, that's ridiculous. People will pay if you go about it the right way. Today, of course, that's solved. They have most all their subscriptions are paid for. And it's a viable asset in the community. I think they do a good job. It's not an easy job. And of course, I give a lot of credit to Zucker because he got ads and, you know, built up the commercial end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Worked hard at that.
What's his name, Zucker?
Yeah, Al Zucker.
Mm-hmm. What is his position?
Well, he's retired now, but he was, he and Bloom, Bloom did the editorials. He was the business manager of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Joe, until he retired, he, mm-hmm. he was. But he ran the finances and really ran it, and Bloom did, wrote the editorial, you know, big deal. But he didn't try to butt in. That was one of the problems we had with him. He'd stay out, let Zucker do it, he's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You do the writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's Al Bloom, was it?
Yeah, Al Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, from there, I went to Federation, and which I'd always been active in. I had been chairman of the campaigns and did different divisions until I became chairman of the whole campaign, and in 84 became the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who followed you?
Who followed me?
Okay.
I can't.
Who did you follow?
Who did I follow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Lenny Rudolph, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Lenny Rudolph. Okay. Were there any other of the Jewish organizations that you want to make any comments? Interesting, you spoke so much about the home, of which you were hardly associated, and you
well,
don't make too many. Don't bring it up again.
No, with the problems that existed
yeah.
because of the Federation yeah. and their existence,
yeah.
But they were a difficult group to work with. I didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I let Herman suffer with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was active in United Way and did a lot with them and was on various committees. The United Way in this city has always bothered me. We do a very poor job compared to Cleveland, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, with approximately the same population, within 1 or 2%,
mm-hmm.
raises almost 75% more money than we mm-hmm. raise here.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I always thought was that this was the most protected organization I had ever had any association with. No one knew what anybody on the board gave. I don't think anybody was ever solicited on the board.
Mm-hmm.
They had chairman each year was one of the presidents of one of the big companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I once accidentally saw what the president of one of the largest corporations in the world gave, and it was $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was his contribution.
That's been in the papers now.
Well, now they do.
Is this United Way?
United Way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I always compared it to Cleveland because I knew a man who probably was the first Jew in Cleveland who was ever president of United Way, Mort Mandel.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a national figure, just one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever know. When he became president, my understanding was, at the first board meeting said, you know, gentlemen, it's a great honor to be a board member of the United Way, but also a great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And our responsibility is that we, as the leaders, must show the community how we feel about the United Way, and the only way that we can do that is about how we give
to it.
And he made a rather large contribution, which shocked,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand, the table nearly fell through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But before he got through, they raised over $1 million from the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of changed that mm-hmm. organization around to what I probably one of the best United Ways in the country as far as mm-hmm. what they give and what they get.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Pittsburgh, they always relied on an hour a month, you know, from all the union people in the shops, and United States Steel and Gulf Oil,
Westinghouse,
and Westinghouse would all work on that so that their employees, that all the employees gave.
Yeah.
But they ignored 75% of the rest of the community.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be annoyed with the little people. They didn't bother with them. And so when the base, the manufacturing base started to erode, they really had problems. And I don't think they're out of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believed in United Way.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt that it was a good way to do things,
mm-hmm.
and an appropriate way, in a way. They have tried, the Federation has had close relationships
mm-hmm.
with them, and they tried, you know, to emulate us in certain ways, but it's the climate there, and it's a real Gentile climate, and they think announcing a gift, God almighty, that's vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
I always laugh when the story they tell, when in first grade, and the teacher is asking all the little kids to identify themselves, and each one would get up and say their name and say something about the family until Izzy Cohn got up and he said, "I gave it home."
Mm-hmm.
But it's a way of that. Jews, you know, I always often got kidded, and when I call somebody up, they'd say, you know, "What is it you need now? What is this for?" And then I would always say, "Is that bad? Do I take bread out of your mouth? Did you ever deprive yourself of anything?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not go on a vacation because of something you gave me?" No, they never could say that.
What about the trouble with United Way?
Well, that of course was a big shocker, and that set them back. But I think they came back from that.
Right.
It's unfortunate that, as I said, these social workers and professionals get live in a little world. If the lay people don't watch them closely and keep them in line, you know, this is what will happen. You know, he just went to excess. Lived, you know, figured that his job is safe for years. Who's going to bother him there? And he got greedy. I just read a terrible thing about the community center in Rockville, you know, Washington, D.C., did you read about that?
No, I didn't read it.
In which the director and the financial man and one of the engineers were... They evidently stole over 10-15-year period a few hundred thousand dollars by monies that should have gone selling their services and keeping the money and things of that nature. But you know what did when Goldie Mayer was told about the Jew that was caught stealing? She said, "You know, now we're a country. Whether it's good Jews, bad Jews, I'm sure."
Mm-hmm.
And we're not all honest, I guess. But that's what I guess makes life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked me to look up some of the things, I looked back some of the old things. I thought you might like to see that one. But I don't. You want to turn that off, or you want to?
No. You're handing me some old notes and thoughts and comments. One of them is called "About Jews," what other items do you want to give me?
I'll
take a copy because they exhibit a little of your personality
and a couple things
and your dreams.
Right, and some of the talks that I gave to the community. So I'll make copies for you.
Yes, please. This one's about Jews. What's that topic?
Well, it's when I stood as once every year in our synagogue Federation relationships, the president would go and speak at a synagogue about the Federation, I go around to several of them and give talks, and this is one of the talks I gave. But it has some of the things, because my relationship with World of Sharon was a very close one, and when I had the opportunity as the president to do this, I was able to say some things. And as I started, I said, some 35 years ago, I stood on this podium as the vice president of the Junior Congregation and gave a sermon titled Happiness. I said, oh, the arrogance of youth. when I had to give that Rabbi Freehoff at that time, he said, well, I will help you. You know, I was 24 years old or something. And I went to his apartment, and we spoke for about an hour, and he was giving me ideas of what I might say and things like that.
I'm happy to pick these up. I think they'd be nice additions to this list. About Jews is one.
Is a talk to the temple on the synagogue Federation relationships and
okay.
How we feel
the
about
Rodef.
It. And I know that you showed some interest in that.
Yes.
I thought
Federation. Okay, I think we're done. Federation relations. I enjoyed the thing. I think we came out just about perfectly. We didn't say as much about the Jewish Welfare Board as I'd like.
The Jewish Welfare Board, we always had a problem with the name. That came from 1917. When the government asked the Jewish community to organize itself in a way that to get chaplains for the service, and it's really how it started. And you see, there's behind me is an old 1918 poster that I got as one of the things they gave, I guess, when you served on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest surprises, I have served as vice president it's now called the JCCA,
mm-hmm.
Jewish Community Centers of America. And its relationship to the centers now is more closely identified. We still have the chaplaincy service and the book book service and various other things that we handle, but the main part is for the centers. And center mm-hmm. growth has been tremendous over the past 15, 20 years. But I will say that I won the Franco Weil Award in 1988, I believe, which is, it's a pretty good contribution to the Jewish Community Center field, which mm-hmm. to me was the biggest surprise of my life. It was one of the things, it's a rather prestigious award.
Yeah.
And I was just floored when I was called that I was selected by the committee.
Mm.
It's one of the great honors, I think, that I have, and one that I treasure very much.
Mm-hmm.
My association with the JCCA over the years has been just a great one. I've never seen more dedicated people who spend 3 weekends a year and probably 2 other times that we travel to various places for our meetings. Of course, it gave me special pleasure to work under Rautman, who was the director of the center here and went on to become the president. He's retiring at the end mm-hmm. of this year, whom I always thought was just a great professional and really enjoyed working
with. Thought Arthur was a great professional.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He gave direction and philosophical direction more than just managing an institution.
Mm-hmm.
And... he gave inspiration, made it fun to be there, because you really felt you were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting sessions, things that I was involved in with the center, as I told you before, that we are the chaplaincy service, and that we mm-hmm. select the people to serve as chaplains in the armed
yeah.
services.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not as easy as you think. We have a Reformed rabbi, a conservative rabbi, and an Orthodox rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to agree on each applicant mm-hmm. that we would do. Well, we had a woman applicant. And I'm chairman of the chaplaincy committee at that time. And Rabbi Schachter, who was an Orthodox rabbi who I respected, who was just a fine gentleman, he said, "Jerry," he said, "how can I pass on a woman? Rabbi, you want me to get excommunicated?" He said, "It'll be the end of me." And we had a terrible time. So finally we worked out a solution where each section would just vote on one of their own. If it was Reform, the Reform rabbis would check them out, conservative, conservative, Orthodox, Orthodox, because the Orthodox aren't going to have women applying. And we even had a little problem with the conservative in, for a short period, and because we had a conservative woman who wanted to become a chaplain. And but now, thank goodness, it's worked out, and we have women chaplain. And a lot of people don't know, but we have admirals in the Navy who are chaplains and have served. And as a chaplain, you serve not only, you know, your own denomination, but you are a chaplain forever. In the 7th Fleet in the Mediterranean, Ribnikov was a vice admiral, and he was the head chaplain of that whole area. We had 2-3 rabbis in Saudi Arabia. I don't know what the Saudi Arabians knew about it, but we had them there. We have been, I had interesting experiences because once a year we would...